Welcome to the worship from Daleville Christian Church. Although we are a Protestant congregation, we have found the Ash Wednesday worship service to be beneficial and praiseworthy. The traditional words for the imposition of ashes on the forehead are from the book of Genesis in the third chapter, "From dust we came, and to dust we shall return." Perhaps these are not words of a pleasant reminder, but they are words to remind us to be humble before the greatness of our God, who gives life and came to live among us in the dust in order to raise us to heaven. We like to begin our worship services with an affirmation of faith, and this one from 1 Timothy in the second chapter. God, our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. This has now been witnessed to at the proper time. We also like to offer prayer, and so I would ask that we be together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this season that is here, this season before Easter, when we are invited and we invite all to draw nearer to you. Lord, we not only pray that we might know you better, which you have proclaimed in your word, that we should know you better. We also pray that we might know ourselves better. For Lord, if we would know ourselves better, we would know more of what we need, and we would know more about you who wants to provide for our needs. Lord, you spoke many times of the Heavenly Father's provision for even birds and flowers. Lord, we feel much more complicated than birds and flowers. Jesus said that we were of much more value than the birds. And so, Lord, we pray that you help us. We are not simple. We don't experience ourselves as simple. And we know, Lord, that you are great. You do know us, and you understand us. Those who come to you, Lord, you said you would not send away empty. May we hunger more for you rather than the crumbs we so often seek. Those things cannot nourish us, Lord, but you can. Feed us, we pray. May this season be a season of being supplied, that we may fully participate in every good work you call us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our theme this season will be about healing, the season before Easter, the Lenten season. And that seems right, since we can see light on the horizon of this worldwide pandemic. Daleville Christian Church has for a number of years made this service a healing service. Those who came to the Lord, we read, with various diseases were healed in body, in mind, in soul. And so we move closer to the Word of God in hearing the old hymn, "He Touched Me." Shackled by a heavy burden, neath a load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. He touched me. He touched me, and oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. Since I've met this blessed Savior, since he's cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise him. I'll shout it while eternity rolls. Thank you. Hear now Jesus' simple words from the Sermon on the Mount, the reading of God's Word for today, Matthew chapter 5, just verse 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Being humble, that's what Jesus is talking about. Have you been humbled? I have. Have you been humbled more than once? I know that I have. One of my experiences of humility is sickness. I used to suffer terrible headaches. When one of those came over me, there was nothing I could do but go to my bedroom, shut the door and the curtains, and go to sleep to become unconscious of the pain. Later, I was prescribed some medication that helped, but the pain still did not allow me to be functional. I still had to lie down and go to sleep. Whatever power or control I had to completely give up if I wanted the pain to subside. For some of us, being forced to go to bed and become unconscious is an experience of being humbled. When you were growing up, did you like being sent to your room? I didn't like being sent to my room anymore as an adult when my body forced me to do it. Besides, as a child, I could still function in my room. I could read, play with whatever toys were in the room or in the closet. As an adult, when a headache forced me to go to my room, I was not functional. I couldn't stand to have my eyes open. I didn't want to stand up or move. Well, that's certainly my experience of sickness and humility. Others I know experience the same thing. Often those who are in the hospital are humbled. In the hospital, control over most everything we do is lost to the hospital staff. In the hospital, one can barely cover one's nakedness successfully. Really, if you can keep your modesty in a hospital, you really have accomplished something. Again, we see sickness as a humbling experience. The experience of being humbled by sickness is an experience that many of us have had. Now, I read a different explanation of Jesus' words here in Matthew. We read, humble or meek, blessed are the meek, blessed are the humble, for they shall inherit the earth. But instead of a person, let's think of a horse. A wild horse must be made gentle. My source said that it's the same word in Greek. A horse must be made gentle if it is to respond to the rider or the wagoneer. No one wants a quick-tempered horse or an easily frightened horse. The horse must stay under the driver's control to be of use. And the gentle horse, the meek horse, is still a horse. Strong, powerful, able to work, haul, help lift, pull, push, be ridden, or pull in the tongue of a wagon. The meek, the gentle, of whom Jesus spoke, are under God's control. And the gentle ones will do what God wants them to do, not run wild or try to bite the driver or rider. Perhaps Jesus should have said, blessed are the obedient. Jesus certainly means, blessed are the gentle horses. The Lenten season, which we get underway on this day, Ash Wednesday, is supposed to be a humbling experience. We find those humbling themselves in the Bible, and when we do, when we read this humbling in the Bible, it is most often because of sin. One of our elders' favorite Bible verses is 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people, says the Lord, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Here we see the experience of those who are humbled by their own sin. How often does that happen today? Well, to read the media, many people today are never humbled by their sin, and many are only humbled when their sin was discovered. Only when discovered, even though our sins are not hidden from the Lord God. There are many examples in God's Word, especially in the Old Testament, of those who are humbled by sin. Many can recall King David's sin with Bathsheba. But in just a few verses concerning King Ahab, we get the whole picture. Ahab heard the prophet condemn Ahab for his sins. And the Bible then says in 1 Kings chapter 21, when Ahab heard these words, he tore his clothes, put on sackcloth, and fasted. He lay in sackcloth and went around meekly. Clearly, Ahab was humbled by his sin. And Ahab humbled himself, carrying out all the signs of being humbled for citizen and king alike. And then the Bible states, then the word of the Lord came to Elijah. Have you noticed how Ahab has humbled himself before me? Because he has humbled himself, I will not bring this disaster in his day. The follower of Jesus knows that his sin is forgiven. But does the follower of Jesus know what he has done wrong? Does the sinner know why exactly that Jesus had to go to the cross instead of them? We don't practice confession much in the Protestant church. Maybe your best friend has heard you confess something to them. In 2012, a website was started called Raw Confessions. I don't know if it was ever a good website, but the reviews consider the website worthless. You can still go to yesiconfess.com, but I'm not sure what the benefit is of this or any other website like it. If you don't read God's Word, how would you know what you are doing is wrong and that confession might be helpful? From what I read, the people who posted on the website were not humbled by their experiences of sin. I didn't read much shame, and there were no attempts at amends stated or attempts at restitution or righting the wrong that they had committed. The wrongs that they went to the website to confess. And the tradition of confession requires a response from the one confessing. God's Word encourages confessions directly to the Lord and to one another. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 makes it clear that as the Apostle Paul wrote, godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. It is assumed that a follower of Jesus will have some sorrow for their sin. Then repentance and then any amends or restitution or making up that is needed can follow the confession. And so we come to and have for all of Jesus' people the Lenten season, the season before Easter. And over 1,000 years ago, the season was for those preparing for baptism at Easter, those who were aware of their sins and need of salvation, following Jesus through baptism. But later, the entire congregation was encouraged to update and upgrade their own training in following Jesus and to do so with those preparing for baptism and to do it during the Lenten season. Ash Wednesday depicts this restatement of confession in order that we may be forgiven. The ashes are made from the palm branches of Palm Sunday. What did they represent? The palms represented the people's hope in their hoped-for Messiah, not the Messiah that God sent in Jesus. The people wanted a winning, victorious Messiah who would rid them of the Romans, not a dead Messiah who would die at the hands of the Romans. But Jesus told the disciples that Jesus' death was exactly where Jesus was going, and that would happen when they went to Jerusalem. The waving palms of Sunday were trampled underfoot by the very next Thursday and Friday. Jesus' arrest and crucifixion, everyone forsook Jesus and fled. The palms are burned, and we wear those ashes this day. Ashes, the ancient sign of grief and mourning, and our own palms, the things we want in this life rather than what God wants for us in this life. We once were all wild horses, and we still can and will break out of the barn or head off in our own direction instead of doing what our driver, rider, the Heavenly Father wants. And so we come on this Ash Wednesday, humbled by our own desires, humbled by our own attempts, humbled by our own efforts, humbled by our own goals, humbled by our own hopes, humbled by anything and everything that did not proceed from the will of God. We come confessing that we might be redeemed and strengthened in Christ, to pray again to do the will of the Heavenly Father, to seek our Lord's praise rather than the praise of others. Hear again the words of the apostle, as John wrote of it in his first letter in the first chapter. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Amen. And so Nancy and I are having the ashes placed on our foreheads as a sign of our grief and repentance. And the two of us represent any and all of you who would receive the same ashes this Ash Wednesday. And we conclude our Ash Wednesday service in prayer. Lord, we thank you for joining us in the dust through Jesus of Nazareth. We confess, Lord, that it was necessary for Jesus to die that we might live. Because Jesus was raised from the dead, we have a hope not only of life eternal, but a life of service to you, Lord, that others will praise the one who came to save us and in whose name we pray. Amen.